Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is Thursday, August 7th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you use or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years worth of archives, or at least request the recordings of them. I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything I can help you with, we can help you with. There's no I in MV Pro Call. There's we. Anybody? So I do want to announce, we do have our service class coming up in September that is going to be focused on troubleshooting and service, how to actually identify different service problems. So if anybody is interested in some very hands-on, real-world training and checklist, then please reach out and let us know. We did have a class start on Monday. We do have one more spot left for that class. And would love if anybody could participate in that. We did record Monday's session, and so it's not too late to get signed up on that one. That's for a premium. And then all the other classes that we have are, of course, online on our calendar. Take a look. We'd love to host you and your team at the Motor Vitality training facility. Anyway.
If I could add, we have the custom sales training virtual class starting next week, one day virtual, and then the week after is the 3 days on site.
That is true.
Custom sales.
That is correct. Sales training. That's where it all started, way back where Motor Vitality actually started, was in the sales training. Okay. So I had a fun topic, and not fun, but an interesting thing happened to me. It's always fun. The whole job's fun. I'm kidding. It's all fun. But anyway, so I went out. So some of you may or may not know that we actually started our own dealership. It just made sense. We've got a great location in a showroom. It kind of helps supplement the revenue and income. But also, we've helped Motor Vitality for the last 18 years has helped dealerships sort of build their dealership. So we got started, and it's we're just getting started, and it's going pretty well. It's kind of fun. It's fun to go out and actually do it for myself. I mean, for nearly 30 years, I've done this for others, and it's kind of an interesting experience to go out there knowing that it's ours, that it's mine, and hopefully we'll make us better trainers, and as I said, it is also helps supplement the revenue, to keep the doors open, which is always a good thing. But I got a call, so we launched officially February 1st of this year, and so far we've got, I think, 13 five-star reviews, and I'm going to have to tell somebody at some point. We've talked about my suspicion of five-star reviews. We've talked about that on the call. I'm like, well, I keep getting five stars. People are going to not believe it's true. So I have to talk to somebody, maybe go and do just a little bit less service and maybe get a four-star in there somewhere. No, I like our five-star reviews. It's been amazing, and people are willing to go in, and they're writing a lot and being very thorough, and it's been pretty cool. And it was because of that, last week we got a call. I got a call from a customer that had called out a competitor. It was actually a pretty popular name brand unit, one that's pretty well known. This particular dealership, I don't know the people at this particular dealership, so it was kind of interesting. I'd not known who this was. Doesn't really matter because we kind of run into this frequently. But they ended up, they had that person out to the house And they were, the price kind of turned them off, but also they just didn't have a, so this guy and his wife, he was 22, she was 21, she was 3 months, is 3 months pregnant. They bought a house, which is incredible. 22 and married with, and just bought a house on some acreage. It's pretty amazing. But anyway, they had this guy out, this other guy out to the house who said he'd been in sales for 30 years, and he came into the house and he looked in the back of their toilet. I've seen this done when I've ridden with people, salespeople across the country. I see this done a lot, actually, where they look in the back of the toilet and there's brown back there, like, you know, because of iron, and he takes his finger and he rubs it across the back of the toilet and says, "Oh God, you have, that's bacterial iron. You've got really bad iron bacteria." In fact, and what he told this kid and his pregnant wife, that is in 30 years, I've never seen it that bad. This is the worst I have ever seen it. And this is what they're, now this is hearsay. This is what they're telling me, he said, but it was one of the biggest reasons that they called, and they also called because of the reviews. They, you know, they looked locally and saw our reviews, so they called. I mean, there are other choices, but they called me, and I went out there, and look, I get it. Sometimes it's not malicious, but there was this salesperson had been in business for, you know, had been doing this for, according to my customers, 30 years, and had told them that it was the worst he had ever seen in 30 years. There were a couple things wrong with it. First off, I would bet my career that it was not iron bacteria. Iron builds up in the back of the toilet and it looks muddy. You know, it can look really gross and disgusting, but it's wet, you know, when it's back there and you run your finger across it, yes, your finger's going to come off stained. In fact, I didn't want to, the one thing I don't want to do when I go into a house with a customer is get into a pissing match about, you know, with competitors and say, well, they're wrong, I'm right. You know, then it just becomes, I've accidentally kind of gotten into that before where somebody has, you know, said that about me and I've ended up having to sort of defend, and it gets a little, and I want to talk about that side of it too. How do you defend that? But, you know, so I don't like getting into that, well, they're wrong, I'm right. But clearly, I truly, with all of my experience, believe that he was incorrect. I mean, they were recommending just a ton of equipment, a chlorine injection system and you know, with the peristaltic pump and just like tons and tons of equipment. And that was one of the things. It wasn't for all the equipment they had quoted. It wasn't an unreasonable price, frankly. I mean, it was, you know, we're not for profit. It wasn't the price. It was just, I think one of the things that had concerned the customers that they, you know, were putting, having to put chemicals in. And I explained to them, you know, when you have that issue, yeah, sometimes that is the treatment. It's what they're recommending is not uncommon when you are treating, if you are treating that issue, but that's not, I don't believe what they had. In fact, what I did is I mean, I happen to believe that iron bacteria is one of the most commonly misdiagnosed issues out there. I think people don't understand that you can get a brown sludge in the back of your toilet from iron buildup. You know, that can certainly happen, particularly on a well. You can also get bacteria in a bathroom, you know, or in a kitchen. I mean, the pink bacteria, the airborne, the slime bacteria, you know, that they have, that's a normal airborne bacteria that does happen, particularly with wells, because, you know, you're not chlorinating the water. Like, I mean, it doesn't happen as often on city water because you get the city water. But what I did is I said, let's take a look. He had his phone. I said, let's Google iron bacteria real quick. You know, just Google and pick up the images. I mean, we had the phone right there. So he pulled up the images on his phone, and clearly you know it. You know when you have iron bacteria. You get this gelatinous, nasty buildup in the back of the toilet, like growing. It's and sometimes these mushroom-like globules that grow in the back of the toilet, and sometimes you do get like an oil slick over the top, but that oil slick is not always iron bacteria. Sometimes that's just dust and stuff and grime, the stuff that floated to the top of the water. I mean, when you have bacteria in there, you know it. It's disgusting. I mean, it looks, you can tell it's bacterial, you know, the stuff grows. And he's sitting there scrolling through these images, and I think that did it for me, you know, that helped me. Anyway, about 30 minutes later, we wrote up a system, and it was installed on Friday. My what I wanted to kind of have a discussion about here is, what do you do when you walk in to a house and one of your competitors has so clearly misdiagnosed something in the house? I mean, there were things that I got to tell you, as somebody who takes a lot of pride in integrity and stuff like that, it didn't bother me as much. The misdiagnosis did not bother me as much as what felt like to me trying to manipulate this young couple having a baby, because there were comments about, I definitely wouldn't drink this water. And, you know, especially with you being pregnant. And I mean, it was just so clear. And in 30 years I've been doing this, I've never seen it this bad. I mean, those things, they make me cringe. Okay. That even if you walk in and the water that you see is the worst water you've ever seen, I don't think I would never say that to a customer, because first off, it looks like I don't have experience. And secondly, it sounds like bullcrap, like BS, seriously? Oh, lucky me, I should buy a lottery ticket. I have the worst water you've ever seen. I mean, it just sounds so bogus, but the guy, there are people out there that say that. I've heard lots of people say that, you know, that have told me that they said it was the worst they've ever seen. But anyway, what do you guys do? How do you handle that situation with the customer? What do you say to them? What do you do to not get into that little fighting match, you know, that back and forth between you and the customer?
Well, question, what did you say?
Well, what I did, I said, that guy is dead wrong. I cannot believe you're stupid if you buy from him. I mean, was that wrong? No. So what I did say, that's a good question, Scott. So what I did say was, I said, you know, I respectfully disagree with him. I said, first off, I mean, I tested his water. He only had barely a part per million of iron, and I ran it through my mini. So this is what I did, is I had my little mini water softener. I ran his water through my mini softener and showed him that the iron was gone. Now, he did have tannins in his water as well. And around in my area, I also carry a little mini water softener with tannin resin in it. And I carry a couple gallon jugs, empty gallon jugs, for the exact same thing. So I did take I basically, you know how we talk about the sink demo stuff? I showed him. I didn't tell him as much as show him. So I ran his water. I tested the water right there with him, showed him the iron. I ran his water through the mini softener, retested the iron. It did show a little bit of iron, but I know the area and suggested it also might be tannins. So then I ran that softened water. I've got a little pump that pumps the water. So I poured the softened water into a bowl and then pumped it. I ran softened water into a gallon jug, put about a gallon of water into a gallon jug. And you could definitely see a little yellow there. iron, tannins will show up as iron on the iron test. So I ran that through, tested the iron. You could see the iron was a little bit less, but there was still color in the water. So then I pumped out the softened water in through a little mini tannin unit and ran that into the second gallon jug and held them up side by side, and the night and day difference. And then I retested the iron and showed the iron was gone. And so, you know, I was, rather than just saying the guy was wrong that had come out there, I actually showed him. I said, you know, these are the test results that I'm getting. And frankly, I personally, even locally, have seen way, and I did mention that. I said, I don't know where the other gentleman has worked, but your water's not that bad. I mean, it definitely needs treatment, but it's not that bad. It could be, you know, this is pretty easily treated. So, and I said, I'm not a huge fan of chemical injection. You know, I had asked him, I said, how long has it been since you chlorinated the well? And as it turned out, you know, he personally had put in a new well pump within the last year, and he hadn't chlorinated the well. So I kind of walked him through how to chlorinate his well, which he did before, you know, going out there. And I said, look, if you know, chlorinate the well, clean your lines. We put in a little sediment filter for him so that he could run some iron out and through his lines and you know, gain access to the water lines, kind of clean out the lines. This house was built in like 1876 or something like that. It was just an old farmhouse that had been renovated, but you know, I had old lines that had been redone and stuff like that. But anyway, what I did was I showed him. I didn't just go in there and say, oh, that guy's wrong, I'm right. I let him see for himself the results of the treatment that I would recommend, you know, that I would put in. And that made all the difference in the world. We didn't get into this shouting match, you know, between, you know, two people who have been doing it, you know, apparently been in the industry roughly the same amount of time. It's almost, I find sometimes that you almost have to talk people off the ledge. It's like when you have a competitor, I find that, you know, when you've had somebody go out there and they've used, you know, something from EWG, you know, the website or a consumer confidence report that has, you know, they picked and choose something from it, and they've used that to scare the heck out of people, you know, and try and use the fear to sell. Sometimes I find talking them off the ledge, saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Yes, you could use some treatment, but it's not as bad as what you've been given the impression here. This is, if it didn't kill you yesterday, it's probably not going to kill you today. So take your time. Think, you know, let's think this through. Think about what the options are. I find that when you sort of, you don't try and sell on fear and you sell on facts, you know, you present the facts, customers, I mean, he didn't shop around. We made the decision to purchase that day. You know, it was done that day, you know, before I left the house. So anyway, that's what I did. Any suggestions on that, Scott?
Well, there's a reason that he bought from you and didn't buy from the other guy. Because that was obviously fear. And people are pretty savvy nowadays, and they can smell BS. Most people, that tactic might work on some people, but more and more the fear tactic puts people off more than anything else. What we run into mainly down here is most of our competitors are on 1099, and yeah, it is hard for them to consistently keep people. Is just that they just don't know as much. I expect all of my people to be the subject matter experts, because we train, we want to keep people for a long period of time when we go out there. And so most of the times when we run into something like that, it is just misinformation. It's what they thought. And, you know, I was like, you know, well, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and I'll just be honest with you. I've been married 26 years. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. but I don't believe that's accurate. And then, you know, with the facts, go over it. And I love the fact that you used the actual mini conditioner to show instead of telling. But the other guy, whether he'd been doing it for 30 years or 30 minutes, that was obviously trying to sell something by trying to scare somebody. And that is not okay.
Yeah, I just feel like that really hurts us all when that happens. It kind of, so I've run into situations. Anybody else have any comments on that? I mean, there's a few of you on. So what else, how do you guys handle that, or how would you have handled it?
It's Michelle. Just to give the customer side, since I'm not a salesperson, I agree with Scott. Like, fear may work on some people, but I think when you come on that strong, but he may have thought it would work. I'm speculating here, but he may have thought it would work because they were so young, and everyone, you know, when they're having a baby, they just want to do the best they can. So I think by making it seem like the worst it was, they would have acted immediately on it. But yeah, Scott's right. People can smell when it's being pushed upon them, or you know, selling out of fear. And now with the internet, people can search things, or they can.
Well,
you know,
I showed them images of the iron bacteria. I showed them what it looked like, and they clearly did not look like that in the back of their toilets. You know.
Right, and then they also can easily search for other companies. Say, you know what, let me get a second opinion. Let's see what someone else says. And absolutely showing them and not coming in like this is the worst thing ever. I mean, maybe it was pretty bad. I mean, you know, if that was the case, and you would tell them like, yeah, look, this is what it, you know, usually is, but yours is X amount, you know, showing up X amount higher. So, but yeah, I much prefer someone who speaks with knowledge to me than someone who's, you know, telling me that the world is ending right now and I have to do something. Anyway, sorry, that's my two cents.
So I have had situations in sales before, even, you know, way back when you end up getting, you know, where I mean, I'm a master water specialist. I think I know what I'm talking about. I've been wrong before, you know, like, although I would never say that right after I said I'd been married. You know, like, I've been married 20 some years. Trust me, I've been wrong before. What? What? So, anyway, it's kind of the way my brain works, the way I heard that. But what ends up happening sometimes is if that other person also, look, I've treated tons of them out here, I've got this and that, and then the customer gets really confused, especially when you start throwing around these technical terms like, you know, capacity and efficiency and, you know, just whatever, all the industry lingo terms we start throwing around. And so I have before said, okay, I don't want to be part, you know, because customers sometimes they'll say, I'm confused, I don't know what to do. Like, I'll tell you what, I'm going to withdraw my quote. And not for any other reason that I don't want you to think that my advice or my suggestions to you are coming out of me wanting a sale. So this other company, I know them. They're a reputable company. Hopefully, you know, you're able to say that. Or if you call a couple other people, you know, to get a couple other recommendations, I will act as a consultant for you. You know, I will. Paul, are you still on? That's kind of what that's your business model now, right? I don't know if Paul Freyot's still on with Get What Our Answers. That's kind of what he does, actually. He may have had that hang up. But it's like advising people, sort of being that non, you know, the person who makes that recommendation. And I've tried that. And you know what happens, honestly, when you pull back and say, I'm not going to be part of the, you know, I just want to help you. You know, and it doesn't, lots of people have equipment out there. If you want me to just advise and not be part of the, you know, the sale, then that's what I'll do. And you know, it's interesting because usually people end up buying it from me when you do that, when you sort of back off. They end up saying, okay, you know, yeah, that makes sense. The one thing that I will tell you that I have done, that I have made this recommendation to dealers that I've helped build. Sideways is doing her input. Sorry about that, everybody. The one thing that I put in place for Yellow Duck Water, which is the dealership that we have, that I do recommend. I've recommended it to a lot of dealers, and a lot of dealers haven't done it. They don't, you know, it makes them nervous to do it. For me, I have personal experience. So the company that I worked with way back when I started in sales, they had a 90-day money-back guarantee. No questions asked, money-back guarantee, 100% money-back guarantee, 90-day. And so even if the customer just didn't like the color of it, they would take the system out and refund 100% of it. So I decided to implement that as well, to offer that as well, a 90-day 100% money-back guarantee. Well, not 100%. I am taking off a 15% basically restock fee, you know. You know, it's just to cover the cost of, you know, of that, of the, you know, the equipment basically, because now it's, but I plan on putting together a rental program so I would be able to use it. But the truth is, out of the hundreds of customers I had when I was in sales over the course of several years, there was only one time ever that a customer told me, so I had sold a softener and a reverse osmosis system, and they called and said they had changed their mind about the reverse osmosis system, and we came out and we took out the reverse osmosis, and that customer wrote me a letter that about how smooth that process was and how the installer did not guilt them and how they didn't leave a mess and how there were no questions asked and it was just super easy. That removing that one reverse osmosis system probably got me so many sales because customers were suspicious about that, and I would show them that letter and it just made them at ease. But I know that I'm only recommending what is going to work for the customer. And frankly, if it doesn't work, if I make the wrong recommendation, what damage is it going to do if they're stuck with this piece of equipment? We've all run into that where we've been out there with customers that spent thousands of dollars on something that didn't work, and now they're stuck with it. And they're super mad at that company. You know, I don't want that. I do want people out there like telling everybody about me, but I don't. And about our company, but I don't want them out there telling them negative. Yeah, we spent all this money and it just didn't work. I wouldn't want to be stuck with something like that, you know. The fact is, it holds me accountable for making sure that I'm making the right recommendation. So I get why some dealers don't do that, but I can tell you from experience, it just will not. If you're doing it properly, it doesn't bite you. And I think that's a good way of sort of overcoming that, you know, some of those challenges when you're dealing with that competitor that's misdiagnosed or making a recommendation that you disagree with. Any final thoughts on any of that? Michelle, as operations manager, cringes when I say that stuff. But it's just not going to happen. People, because I'm not going to make the wrong recommendations. And if I do, I need to be held accountable. But any thoughts on that?
Yeah, Kelly, I've listened to you for a good while, and that's what's called integrity. You are who you are. That's why you are successful. That's why people listen to you. That's why people deal with reputable dealers. It's the bottom line. It's integrity.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Who's this on?
Jason. I'm with Culligan Water out in Carbondale, Colorado.
Oh, Hey, Jason, that's right. Yeah, Jason, good to have you on. Thank you. And thank you for the comments. I appreciate it. That's
yes, sir.
This call is being recorded. I'm just taking that one little section right there and posting it everywhere. No, I appreciate that. Thank you, Jason. It actually means a lot. It was very kind of you to say.
That's what it's all about.
Guys, it is at the top of the hour, so I appreciate it. Boy, this half hour went by super fast. Scott, Jason, Michelle, everybody else, I appreciate the input, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody. Have a great weekend.